Welcome back. Happy now to be joined by Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer. I know you're in Indianapolis now, outside of TCO Performance Center and that move in Winter Park in Minnesota and Indianapolis, how's ranch life? Have you, after the NFC title game, have you decompressed?
Yeah, it took me a couple weeks to get over it, honestly.
Us too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody.
Well, look at me. I'm a disaster.
You were like that before.
That's a fair point.
You know, I haven't been down there too much, honestly. It's been crazy hectic, you know.
Yeah.
We did bring some coaches in to interview them down there at the ranch. And then, I don't know, I've been traveling way too much, I think.
For fun,
or is it business, or?
Not to where I want to go. I don't know, I'm trying to remember. Everything's kind of a whirlwind. For you,
when it comes to vacationing, can you vacation? I mean, can you kick your feet up, take in some sun, have a beverage of choice with an umbrella, and not have a cocktail napkin drawing up some exotic blitz scheme?
I have like a three day window of vacation.
Wow.
After that, I can't.
Well, you got a bad deal.
I can't do it anymore.
Money part's good, but the vacation part's
no,
terrible.
I can't sit on a beach or read a book. Or I'm not. That's not me.
All right, so I think a lot of the fan base isn't fully over Philadelphia. When you look back on it now, other than the ass kicking, what happened?
You know, quite honestly, they did a really nice job. They hit every third down. They made plays. We didn't make any plays. In retrospect, looking at it, I think maybe I underestimated the emotional win the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, practice wasn't real good on Wednesday that week. It was better Thursday. Friday was kind of so-so.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd had, not great practices in the past and still won.
Sure.
Everything just kind of snowballed. You know, we go down, score 7-0, and, we stopped in the first series, and then all of a sudden it's bang, 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 and right before the end of the half, we're down 31-7 or whatever it was. And so that it just kind of almost a perfect storm. But I think in the end I probably underestimated the emotional win that we had the week before. I didn't think it was going to be, I thought it was going to be back to normal as usual. This team focuses.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And and then when they told me that six teams have won walk-off wins in the playoffs, and they all lost. Average by 24 points.
How about that?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I probably could have done a better job with that.
Free
I don't know what I'd have done different, but I would have addressed it. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's not something like, well, we need to scheme differently. I mean, I don't know what the magic answer is to we're so high on the greatest play in the history of Minnesota Vikings football.
Right.
I don't know how you reorient a team that easily.
And I get a kick out of all these. I'm going to stop.
All these what?
Us?
No, just, people that, these guys suck on defense the last six quarters, this and that. And I'm thinking, dude, we played 16 games. We gave up 12.5 points per game.
Right.
Go back and look at the season. Go back and look at the game.
Yeah.
Look at what happened in the New Orleans game when they scored the 20 points or whatever. We get a punt block. We throw a bad interception. There's a lot. We're playing a great quarterback. So there's a lot of things. The scheme that we run, it's been tested for 20-plus years. If it was so easy to get a – go against it, somebody would have figured out before 20 years.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Anyway,
I'm
off it now.
That's okay.
Here
we
at the combine.
That's okay. You don't have to be off it.
We can get on some more of my soapboxes here.
free agency is looming, but a lot of the combine obviously involves the draft, which is 2 months away. So, when it comes to the draft, how do you balance best player available and need? I mean, we've just heard the cliche for so long, and quite honestly, I don't believe it when I hear it. It's like a 100% thing. We're going to take best player available. When there are needs, how do you mesh that need and best player available?
Well, if there is a big need, then I think that need becomes a little bit more important than best player available.
Mm-hmm.
But you still take a look at a couple options because you may have three needs, right? And then you say, okay, we need a corner, we need a whatever, runner, or we need whatever, and then try to figure out that part. But, you know, it's just – it's really how to help your football team the best. I think we're fortunate in the fact that we have a pretty good nucleus of good players, and that we can we can be a little bit more best player available now than what we have been in the past. You know, we took Dalvin Cook last year because he did become available, but that really wasn't the mindset going in a year ago. You know, we thought we'd probably go with a different position, but he became available and we were able to get him because we did think he was. But with our football team where it is right now, I do think that we can be a little bit more, you know, maybe it's a tight end. Who knows? I mean, what difference does it make? The more good football players you have in your team, you figure out how to use them.
With Reef, Remmers, and Elfline, you fortified your offensive line last year. Lost Remmers for a patch, Elfline and Reef, except for one for Riley. You know, you had him for the entire season, and then you go and win 13 games. And, you know, I know it's a team game, and it has more to do than with just the offensive line, but do you feel – you need to continue to fortify the offensive line, either in free agency or the draft moving forward?
Well, I think that was one of the lessons that we kind of learned this year was that if you have a good offensive line, it can help the rest of your team. You know, I've always said that the mentality of your football team comes from your offense and defensive line.
Yeah.
And I think that with us being better this year in the offensive line in what you're saying, continue to improve that area, I think it makes your football team better and better. And we have had, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, we've had quite a few injuries in that offensive line. So the more good players we have there, the better it is.
Mike Zimmer from the Combine.
Do you see Mike Remmers staying at guard? I mean, you love that flexibility, and, you know, most of your guys actually do have a lot of flexibility. But do you see him staying at guard where he ended the season?
Well, I think that's part of what as – because of the flexibility that he has, I think that's part of what we can do in the draft or free agency. You know, if we find a tackle, we can keep him at guard. If we find a better guard, you know, like what Paul was saying with the best available, is it a guard or a tackle? We don't really care because we can take Mike and put him at tackle. We can put him at guard. He enjoyed being at guard. You know, and quite honestly, for him to go from tackle to right guard to left guard in 3 weeks span, is really remarkable.
You guys did such a good job over the years in finding Danielle Hunter, drafting Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr, Trey Wayne, Stephon Diggs. When it comes to free agency, whether it involves one player or a bunch of players, how do you determine how much to spend in terms of how it impacts the future of re-signing players?
Well, that is a big part of it, quite honestly. Rob Brzezinski does a great job with the salary cap and the things that we're able to do and talks to us about all the different options. Well, if we sign this guy and we pay him this much money, we may not be able to pay this guy in the future. We may not be able to keep this guy in the future. So we have to and Rick does a great job. Rick and George and Rob do a great job of balancing that out and sitting down and saying that, you know, this is if we do this, this is what we give up. This is what we, you know, if we do this, this is what we can gain.
Yeah.
You know, the different scenarios that we come up with. And, you know, one of the things I did talk to Rick, you know, I've talked to Rick and those guys, all of them, about was, you know, one of the reasons why we've won 40 games in 4 years is because we've had a good team, and defensively we've had a pretty good nucleus. We've been able to keep guys in games, even though the last 6 quarters, you know, we've been able to stay in games and been able to win games. You know, I think they said the record were 20 when we scored 21 points is what, Mike? 28-3. That's pretty. I'd take
when
that.
You
all
score 21 points,
when
yeah.
Score 20,
that's not that much.
Points. No.
Yeah.
And 28-3. Damn.
That's pretty good, Wobby.
I take that all the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I want to make sure that we're continually stay good on defense and keep adding things on offense. You know, obviously this year we're so much better offensively than we were my previous 3 years, and that allowed us to win more games than 10 or 11. But I think it's important that we continue to try to strengthen our strength part of our team and continue to add to the – what was the weakness of the team.
Listeners definitely want to get your thoughts on your quarterback position, but I want to, before we get to that, I want to talk about Danielle Hunter. He got a big increase in playing time. we didn't necessarily see the splashy plays. We, you know, we thought we'd get, I think, a lot more sacks in the splashy plays, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he wasn't good at all the other things that go with that spot. How do you evaluate Hunter's season in particular?
Yeah, I think it was a good season. I don't know that it was a great season. Mm-hmm. You know, like the fans, I would like to see a few more splash plays. Sometimes Donnell is a guy that, you know, he's unbelievable talent. He's a big pleaser. He wants to please so much. He always wants to do things perfect. And there's times when, especially at that position, and for young guys, this is one of the biggest things you have to learn is cut it loose and just use your God-given ability. You know, he's a smart guy. He's a great kid, works hard, great long, you know, all the attributes he has. But there's sometimes where, you know what, I'm not going to be perfect on this play. I'm going to kick this guy's butt, and I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go. And so I think that comes in time. You know, this will be, his next season, which would be, his third year, right? I think those things are going to start to come into his own. You're going to see it more and more. You know, maybe if we played him a little bit less, he would have shown up a little bit more in just the pass rush situation, because now he's trying to learn to play the run better and so forth, so on and so forth.
With the with the Vikings quarterback situation into 2018, is it mentally taxing for you to go through the scenarios? I mean, I know you love Bridgewater. You found him. You won your first division with him. There's inactivity and the knee. I know you like Sam. There's the knee. And you have some obvious free agents everybody talks about. Then you have Case, and you just won 13 with Case. You know, but I just believe you wonder, with Case, is he who you had last year or who he was before? And even sometimes last year, he was who he was before.
Really, that's the $64,000 question with each one of these guys. And not just Case, because Case did an unbelievable job. I appreciated everything that he did this year. I mean, the way he goes about his business, the way he works, the way he leads a team, the way he makes plays, the way he understands how to play the game with the rest of the team around him. You know, and Sam, you know, he stays healthy for 15 games a year ago, and he gets hurt in one game after the first game this year. And then Teddy, who we thought was an extremely ascending player, great person, great winner, great leader, and we haven't seen him play in 2 years. So, you know, you have to bet, you know, you have to place your bet, like, on your horse on the one that you think is going to make it, right?
Yeah, hopefully you win, because I never do.
Well, I haven't won with the quarterback too much yet. So, you know, we haven't made it through too many seasons in the four that we've had. So I think, you know, we sit down and we're going to do our darndest to pick the right guy and come up with the right, but the money situation becomes part of it.
Yep.
You know, all because,
what about
DeFilippo? Because of the rest of the team.
I mean, and how he wants to run the offense compared to how it has been run.
You know, I think part of that is, let's get the quarterback, okay? Let's figure out who the quarterback is going to be, and then let's work to his strengths. I mean, that's kind of what you do with all these players, you know? Let's not try to say, okay, here's our offense, and let's have this guy run the offense, and he can't do that. Throw that out. He can't do that. So let's get the general off, because you're going to run certain plays, right, with whoever it is, and then whether it's Teddy or Sam or Case, you sit there and you, okay, let's figure out, all right, now let's figure out what this guy does the best.
Yeah.
And then let's go from there.
Love it.
This harkens back to the very first time that we talked to you at the Scouting Combine, when you'd just been hired by the Vikings, and we tried to ask you about your scheme and your philosophy, and you said, Whoa. I want to maximize the talent of the players I've got. I'm not trying to fit my players to my scheme. I want to fit my coaching to what they do best, and you're still giving the same answer now. And that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Regarding your quarterbacks, there's so much you can't say right now, and even things that you don't know. I think even right now you don't know what's going to happen on March 14th. But can you tell us a little bit about the 5 months that you saw at Winter Park in practice from the players that we didn't get to see? You know, we saw plenty of Case. We didn't get to see a lot of Sam all last year. We didn't get to see Teddy all last year. What did we miss not seeing these guys in practice and when they weren't on the field?
Yeah, you know, I thought Teddy did well in practice.
Yeah.
His arm's stronger. You know, he's bigger, physical. You know, he's moving well. You know, I thought there was a lot of good things about the things he did. The thing you have to be careful about when you're on the scout team, not just practice, when you're going in OTAs and training camp, that's different because you're competing against the defense in those days.
Yeah.
And when you're the scout team quarterback, or you're, I say this about corners, scout team corners, you can sit on every route because if you get beat, it's no big deal. If you throw an interception, it's no big deal, yeah. Right? Because no one's really grading you. Did they do this wrong? You know. So, and you're trying to to play like the other guy on the other team that you're getting
right,
ready to play that
right.
week. So you have to be really careful about saying, okay, well, wow, you know, he did this, or even, hey, he threw an interception today. Well, you know what? He didn't care, really. At the end of the day,
yeah.
You know, he's and the same thing with these corners, you know. Oh, well, you know, he's sitting on every single route. If we were going game plan, we'd run a double move, we'd run by him. And so, but they have no fear in practice. So you have to be really careful about that grading scout teamwork yeah. as opposed to true practice.
You obviously know more about it than us, but like in free agency from a three technique standpoint, outside of maybe one guy, I don't think it's great, and I don't know how far down the road you are on the draft. Is this from what you know now with that defensive tackle spot, the three technique spot, is this a good draft for three techniques, early, middle, late, or whatever?
You know, I'm not that far off. I've started with the offensive line, really, is where I'm at right now, and
yep.
then I'll move to the defensive line. I've looked at a couple guys. So for me to give an opinion on that is probably false.
But with you as the leader and Andre Patterson and Robert Rodriguez as defensive line coaches, both incredibly good, all three incredibly good at what you do, does that afford you the opportunity to find somebody you like that maybe is off the radar, like Danielle Hunter, that you feel you can work with and mold into exactly what you need?
Well, I think the one thing that we've done, and Rick has been great at this, is we've identified traits of guys that we are looking for in certain positions. And if we can find those traits and then they match up with the character that we're looking for and the kind of person and the locker room kind of guy that we have, then I feel like we have a chance to bring some of those kind of guys in and develop them. You know, those guys do a great job of developing players. Our defensive line room is, and really the locker room in general is really
yeah.
good. And that's talking about that in free agency and the draft. To me, the chemistry of the football team is as important as anything, and making sure we continue to do those things the right way. So, but I do think, you know, like with Danelle, you know, he was a guy that we had, we liked certain traits about him, and we felt like, you know, he could ascend. He was a young player and so on and so forth. And I think that's what we're always looking for, especially when you get down, you know, into the later rounds in the draft.
Last two for the head coach, Charge.
The NFL's looking seriously at changing the pass interference penalty to being 15 yards. What are your thoughts about that?
You know, when I was a secondary coach, I would have said,
that's great. Yeah, right.
I don't think they're going to do it. I haven't heard anything other than what I've read.
Yeah.
I'm on some committees that we have not discussed that at
okay.
all. So I don't believe that's a true legit thing. I do think it's a 50-yard penalty on a pass interference that you don't really know
right.
who committed it.
Yeah.
It's a really tough penalty.
It's
know,
a game
for,
changer.
For a team, yeah.
It is.
But, you know, it's just I don't think it'll happen.
Okay. All right. So then maybe we won't worry about it so much.
Time for two more.
Have you found the drills at the combine to be outdated? And not necessarily all of them, but I mean,
some.
Do you think they're antiquated?
Yeah, some.
So
I mean,
like when you're here, go ahead.
Rick and I have joked about this before. We're, you know, once I get fired, I'm going to have a big combine at the ranch, and we're going to do my drills, the ones that I want to see.
Yeah. Well, so the meetings with the rookies, you know, however long they are, that's incredibly important, right?
Yeah.
Or is that antiquated too?
Well,
so for you, you're a game tape guy at the ranch. I mean,
it's not antiquated. I mean, you know, you get 15 minutes with a guy.
Oh.
You go through his background, which takes.
Yeah.
Sometimes 10 minutes. You know, you watch a little bit of tape. You know, you get a chance to meet them. They've rehearsed this several times.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't get a lot out of that other than get to know the guy a little bit.
It's turning into our annual Laquon Treadwell update question. So I'll phrase it this way. I mean, he has zero National Football League touchdowns. Obviously, that was not the plan. With the new offensive coordinator, John DiFilippo, think John can get more consistency out of Laquon than maybe the previous regimes?
You know, I would hate to put that on the previous coaches. You know, Laquan's had every opportunity there has been, quite honestly. And really, at the end of the day, it's up to him now.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we're going to continue to give him every opportunity, but when it gets right down to it, this is his time. Either you do it, or, you know, Bill Parcells used to have the saying, first year benefit doubt, second year show me something, third year out.
Yeah.
You know, that's
pretty much sums it up.
That does.
I mean, you know, it's really his time. And,
yeah.
And Laquan is his own worst enemy.
How so?
Well, you know, we're in the middle of 2 days, and he'll go up there at 11 o'clock at night, run stadium steps, you know, which doesn't do him. You know, he thinks
heart's in the right place.
He thinks he's getting better, but he's not helping himself.
Yeah.
And he's wanting to do it, and he cares about these things. But, you know, at some point in time, you either got to figure it out, or, you know, get a change of scenery, I guess.
Thanks for the time.
All right, thank you.
Thanks
Mike
so much,
Zimmer,
Coach.
Head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. From the Combine, this is 9 to Noon. This.